B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And you see right here, the Bengals, their security guys actually filming what the Patriots are filming, and that was their sideline, their substitution. There's actually 8 minutes of this on the tape, but this is where things take a turn for the Patriots.
And this is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
No, it's not. We were trying to get some field perspective. This is my bad.
That's not the field.
Don't believe that. That's
why you would think you could take that.
I didn't know. But I can delete this right here for you.
Damage is done, my friend. Yeah, I don't see the advanced scout in any of this video they're shooting.
All right, so this finally came home to Roof Hour number 2, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. We're on a reentry Monday, which is brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Patriots, for that incident in Cincinnati last December, where they were, again, doing their in-house Patriots.com show on an advanced scout. They were there for a Cincinnati-Cleveland Browns game, of all things. And the crew there got extensive shots of the Bengals sideline, and they were playing the Bengals the next week. Okay, and so the Bengals taped the Patriots for 8 minutes, taping the Bengals sidelines. There was more on the Patriots tape that the Bengals didn't get, and anyone has seen. But anyway, that was the deal. The Patriots said it was a part-time crew, freelance crew. They didn't know the rules and nothing to do with the football department. They were just there filming on this advanced scout, and that was their defense. And the punishment finally came down 6 months later. A third-round pick, $1.1 million in fines. The Patriots can't do any game filming next year. They have to go to, like, driving school or whatever. They got to send some people to, like, compliance courses
re-education program.
Re-familiarize themselves with the rules.
Rehab.
You can't shoot the sidelines. And the guy in charge there, I forget his name, he has been fired, but he's also prohibited.
Mondillo.
Mondillo. Not going to be allowed back in NFL buildings, et cetera, et cetera. Maz, what is your hot Rodenheiser take on this development?
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. So I did the math today. As a result of Spygate, Deflategate, and now what are we calling this one? Bengalgate?
Whatever.
Well, okay, call it whatever you want. The Patriots have now lost 2 firsts, a third, and a fourth. Okay, Mike, that is like the, first of all, it's more than they paid for Bill Belichick to get him out of New York.
It's like the Herschel Walker trade. Okay.
So they've given up, seriously, they've given up all four of those in. I don't think I need to remind you that a few years ago in 2017, they had 4 draft picks, 2/3, a fourth, and a sixth. Just for the cheating, they've lost 2 firsts, a third, and a fourth. Like, they have basically now forfeited an entire draft because of cheating. It is stunning. And they continue to win. Like, that is the most staggering part of the whole thing. They got walloped on this. They got walloped. I thought that they would lose like a fifth round pick, maybe something like that. To lose a third and $1 million in fines, they got absolutely hammered on this thing.
Okay. I mean, considering how it was talked about, I'm with Maz. I figured it'd be a fifth rounder and like $500,000. I thought they got hammered. Absolutely hammered. And this is what they get for being habitual line steppers. So whine all you want. History played into a factor here.
Okay. So, by comparison, this is why people are saying they got hammered. When the Falcons were, found guilty for pumping in fake crowd noise. Now, remember, their GM, McKay, is on the competition committee, right? They were fined $350,000 and charged a fifth-round pick. When the New York Giants and their bozo coach, Ben McAdoo, was using a walkie-talkie on the sidelines, which is just blatantly illegal when their headsets went down, the only thing that happened to them is they dropped 10 spots in the fourth round. Okay, that's all that happened to the New York Giants. The Browns, their former general manager, Ray Farmer, was found to be texting his coaches on the sidelines in 2014. The franchise only lost $250,000. He was suspended four games but lost no draft picks. So compared to those, you know, they're all sort of different infractions, but along the same lines, you know, you would say that the walkie-talkie and the texting on the sidelines were similar in that they were just stupid. They didn't know they were breaking the rules. They were breaking the rules, but, you know, they claimed, you know, ignorance. We didn't know the law, blah, blah, blah. And so in that respect, the Patriots got hammered. I'd say in another respect, though, they're still getting off easy in that they so blatantly cheated in Spygate and so bad and was so blatant about it and was so much more pervasive than you've been led to believe here in New England because of the media cartel and the way they cover it. And Brady was so blatantly guilty during Deflategate, and the team was so embarrassing the way they fought that thing in Deflategate that, you know, I would half expect the league to say, we don't care that it was your production crew. We don't care that it was Patriots.com. We don't care that you say that the football department had nothing to do with it. We don't care. We don't trust you. So wait a minute. After all that crap with Spygate and all that crap with Deflategate, you're going to send a film crew to your next week's opponent and spend at least eight minutes, if not more, focused on their sidelines? You have no defense. We don't care. There's no trial. You're done.
Especially when the guy's all humming, humming, humming.
You're done. There is no. We don't want to hear your defense. There is no defense. You're on double secret probation. That's it. You knew you couldn't get anywhere near any line, and you're sending a film crew into the next week's opponent's press box to shoot their sideline? Guilty. Done. Out. See you later. Like, the league could easily do that, and I think be justified in it. Instead, they did an investigation. We don't know what it found. And, you know, so while the third round pick is very harsh compared to some of these other punishments, I think the league would be in their rights to say, screw you. We're not. Goodbye. First round pick, suspended for a year. Whatever. We're done with you. Get out of my office. I'm sick of seeing you in my office every 3 years. Get out of here. And I think in that respect, you're kind of lucky. Because the league could do that. They could do that if they wanted. And, oh, by the way, I didn't believe it then, and I don't believe it now. I don't believe it was totally, totally innocent. I don't. And I'll tell you why. I'll spend a month on it if you want. You know, just the reaction of Mondello there on that tape.
That was bad.
He's like, he immediately says, my bad.
Yeah.
So
what's
so,
bad? I thought you were, what are you trying to record? I thought this was all above board here.
Dude, if you don't know the rules and you thought it was all kosher, then why are you apologizing?
Yeah.
Well, why is the second word out of your mouth? My bad. I can delete this. Wait a minute. I thought you just said that it's totally innocent. It's for the show. And you weren't even really aware of the rules. So if all that's the case, if you weren't really aware of the rules, and it was totally innocent, why you immediately, in the second breath, apologizing and offering to erase it? So, I think the way that he reacted immediately gets my suspicions up.
Well, he knew he was in hot water. He knew the reputation of the franchise. Like that one was like, uh-oh, I'm in deep doo-doo here. So, but seriously, two firsts, a third, and a fourth.
Yeah, it's a Herschel Walker trade. You've lost the Herschel Walker trade because of cheating.
They're going to hit for the cycle soon. It's
unbelievable.
They'll get a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh on the docket, too. Don't rule that out yet. That's in play.
The video was bad. You know, it came out, you know, after the 10th. Like, I think it happened on December 10th, something like that. Then the next week, of course, Jay Glazer had the actual tape. And I remember when I saw the tape, I said, oh, this looks bad. Because, again, so it's the advanced scout, and he's looking at the field, and they say they're trying to recreate what the advanced scout's looking at. Which means, and it's for a 10-second cutaway. So it's like you would take a scenic shot, a broad shot, maybe one little quick close-up of the sideline. But it's, you know, instead it's 8 minutes. At least, this is only what the Bengals got. Not how long the Patriots were actually doing this for. But minutes and minutes and minutes of sideline, positional group, sideline, guys running onto the field, sideline. Like, and trained on the Bengals sideline. And I thought that tape looked so bad. And I believe it's not just their history that caught up to them. It's their culture. It's their culture. And I think their culture is this. Yeah, get what you can get. Give it to Ernie. He'll take a look at it. Maybe we can use it. Maybe we can't. If anyone asks, tell them tell them you're shooting scenics for Kraft Sports Productions, which was the excuse they used in Spygate back in 2007, and like they've been using that one forever. They've been using that one forever. No, tell them you're just shooting scenics for Kraft Sports Productions. So they get nabbed in the press box, and immediately the guy's like, oh, my bad, I can erase this. We're just shooting for Kraft Sports Productions. It's like you didn't even change your story. But, I mean, I think it's their culture. Did Bill order Mondillo and those guys to go into the press box and shoot the sidelines? Obviously not. He ain't stupid. And so in that regard, Bill has cover by saying I had nothing to do with it. Of course he didn't order it. But
it's an operation that likes the edge.
Is it just the way, it's just the slippery nature of the way they operate down there? And I don't think they're the only ones, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of NFL teams that operate like this. But it's sort of, oh, you're going to Cincinnati? Well, I mean, you know, if you get the sidelines, Ernie looks at that stuff. So if you can get it, get it. And the next thing you know, the camera's trained on the sidelines, and there you go. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. And if I were the league, I wouldn't trust him. And you should, even though it's harsh, you could consider yourself lucky. That the league doesn't look at you and say, I am sick of you in my office every 3 years with a cheating allegation. Get out of here. Which they could. They easily could. So I would consider myself lucky it's only a third round pick, as harsh as that is, Maz.
Again, though, I lump them all together. A third, it's still, for this, is relatively high. I treat them individually. Two, I can't get past it. I'm sorry. Two firsts, a third, and a fourth. Wow. Wow. Boy, they have been absolutely hammered on cheating scandals. Absolutely pounded. And they do deserve it. There's no two ways about that. Two firsts, a third, and a fourth. Tell me they couldn't use those players right about now.
I just can't believe the guy didn't know the rule. This team, your history, it's next week's opponent. Like, you don't know. And of course he knew, because he immediately apologized and offered to erase. Hey, I can take care of this. No one has to know. So anyway, there's your thought on the latest Patriots cheating allegation, and the punishment is in. Your thoughts on that right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And you see right here, the Bengals, their security guys actually filming what the Patriots are filming, and that was their sideline, their substitution. There's actually 8 minutes of this on the tape, but this is where things take a turn for the Patriots.
And this is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
No, it's not. We were trying to get some field perspective. My bad.
That's not the field.
Don't believe that. That's
why you would think you could take that.
I didn't know. I didn't know. I'm sorry. But I can delete this right here for you.
Damage is done, my friend. Yeah, I don't see the advanced scout in any of this video they're shooting.
All right, so this finally came home to Roof Hour number 2, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. We're on a reentry Monday, which is brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Patriots, for that incident in Cincinnati last December, where they were, again, doing their in-house Patriots.com show on an advanced scout. They were there for a Cincinnati-Cleveland Browns game, of all things. And the crew there got extensive shots of the Bengals sideline, and they were playing the Bengals the next week. Okay, and so the Bengals taped the Patriots for 8 minutes, taping the Bengals sidelines. There was more on the Patriots tape. that, you know, that the Bengals didn't get, and no one hasn't, I don't think anyone has seen. But anyway, that was the deal. The Patriots said it was a part-time crew, freelance crew. They didn't know the rules and nothing to do with the football department. They were just there filming on this advanced scout, and that was their defense. And the punishment finally came down 6 months later. A third-round pick, $1.1 million in fines. The Patriots can't do any game filming next year. They have to go to, like, driving school or whatever. They got to send some people to, like, comply.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just answered a question. That's it. We had no involvement in it. Zero.
Bill, have you heard from the league at all?
Yeah, I told you everything. Mr. Kraft made a statement. The team made a statement. That's all I need to add.
Have you reached out
to not have anything to add.
Zach Taylor?
Do not have anything to add.
Bill, as far as the rules go with that videotaping investigation, do you have a sense of where the disconnect happened, where the production team...
I don't have anything to add to it. I don't know how many times I need to say that.
Yeah, Bill was pissed at the time. And apparently he was just a beast in the building. You know, football side, business side, at each other's throats. And he just was on a rampage internally. I'm sorry, man. Like, well over half the problem is the culture you created and the reputation that you richly deserve. And if this were any other team in any other situation, it'd be a nothing story and nothing more than a slap on the wrist. So you created the focus on your team and the spotlight on your team and the magnifying glass on your team. And so that's you. Give me the other Belichick podium cut there, Jimmy, or Billy, if you will. Okay, do we play one or two there? Play me the other one from 12-11.
I know that you said that, you know, football and the team production side are different entities. You guys did
the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff had nothing to do with what happened. Nothing. So we have no involvement in it.
You guys have a scout in the Cleveland press box. So was he aware of the rules that he can't film from the press box?
He was doing his job. That's what he was doing. He was doing his job. Like we all tried to do. That's what the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff did. Last week, tried to do their job for Kansas City, and then Cincinnati, and then Buffalo next week. And that's it. So.
Okay, so if the league let the Patriots get away with the football department had nothing to do with it, then I would consider myself lucky. I would consider myself lucky because the league doesn't have to do that. They don't have to prove it either. This ain't a court of law. It's a private business and they can adjudicate it however they want. They could say, you know what? We don't believe you. And the tape goes back to the same building. The tape, it's all part of the same organization. Nothing prevents someone from the football department from walking down to the Patriots.com office and looking over someone's shoulder and saying, hey, what do you got there? And, you know, in the past, you blamed your football taping on Kraft Sports Productions. That used to be your excuse. So we're supposed to believe you now? And apparently the league does, which I would, I would consider myself lucky because they don't have to. They don't have to. And boy, that's a convenient excuse. We had nothing to do with it. I mean, they bring the tape back into our building. We know they're there because the football department has to approve. I mean, you think they're going to let the entertainment arm of Kraft Sports Productions do a full story on one of their scouts without that going past Belichick or Casario or Bears or someone in the football department? Of course they knew. Of course, there's some crossover. So if they're allowing the Patriots to say, nope, complete separation of church and state there, then I would consider myself lucky. All right, so again, there's the cheating thing on the punishment. We can do this. And Cam Newton, your thoughts. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so I really don't understand the league's punishment here. I mean, if they are considered separate from the football operations, then, you know, then I think Maz is right. They got walloped. But if you're going to tell me that, hey, football has something to do with this, well, then Bill Belichick should be coaching this year. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that the guy keeps getting away with crap like this constantly. It's kind of just, you know, he just keeps vomiting in their face and they're just taking it.
Well, why can't it be both, though? That's sort of my question is why can't it? The fact that they got hammered, you know, for this transgression is, I mean, to me, the penalty is excessive. But I would also tell you, at the end of the day, this is all about the stupidity that Bill demonstrated in 2007. This is really good. It goes back to that for me. Like, that risk really hammered the franchise. It put a stain on the franchise and on Belichick's credibility and on the Patriots' credibility. So now that any time anything like this happens, they don't have the benefit of the doubt. And that was Bill's fault.
So, you know, my guess is they went through computers and, you know, cell phones and hard drives and all of this to try and prove a link between that film crew and the football department. They probably didn't find any, because if they did, Bill would be gone for the year, maybe indefinitely. Okay? So my guess is they didn't find any linkage there that they could prove. So then they said, what's the max we can punish these guys short of that proven link, you know, and not be considered too excessive? And this is what they arrived at. So it's harsh, but I would still consider myself lucky because they don't even have to do that. Steven in the car on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, Mike, this is perfect Patriots pickup, you know, incentive-laden contract, all that stuff, Rodney Harrison-esque. But I have a question for you guys. But what my barometer basically is that Vegas went up to 9.5 on the over as soon as they picked him up. My question to you is, and to you guys, is what quarterback gets waived?
Okay, you just gave me three things, and who cares about who gets waived?
I'm not convinced anyone gets waived.
Yeah, same.
So, I mean, Hoyer and Stidham aren't going anywhere. And the two undrafted guys, like, I'm not worried about it. I am curious of how the Vegas odds didn't change that much. They went from called 8.5 to 9.5 on the over-under. So the difference between Stidham, Hoyer, and Cam Newton is just one game? Do you think that's not giving Cam Newton enough credit, Maz? Or does that accurately portray that this might not even be that big of a difference?
I think it's not giving Cam Newton enough credit. I was surprised by that. I thought the number would go up a little bit more than that. And my only explanation for it is that Vegas questions whether Cam Newton is still the same player. That physically he's just had so many injuries the last couple of years. Because the shoulder thing, if you remember, Mike, when he came back from that, he wasn't throwing the ball right for a while. And so, you know, he's been pretty banged up. Now the foot thing on top of it, new system, short off season. My guess is it mostly relates to his physical condition, because there's no way that those other two guys are as good as Cam Newton.
Jake in Rhode Island, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think Bill wants Deshaun Watson. I think he knows he can go get him. He knows how much of a dink Bill O'Brien is, trading DeAndre Hopkins for a freaking running back this past off season. And I think Bill wants to try and create an offense around that style of quarterback, work in some new elements to the playbook, get a little trial run in before he gets his guy in there.
Okay, well, say, you know,
he'll be a free agent. You think he wants to pay $36 million or whatever it is a year?
So there's two things. Does he want an offense with an athletic quarterback? You know, I'm not even convinced of that, but
maybe.
You know, maybe he does. Maybe he says that's the future of the league. It's actually held us back a little bit that we haven't had that guy, and I'd like to play that way, and that's the way most people play now. And, you know, I want to have more athleticism at the quarterback position. That's possible. I cannot wrap my head around the thought that he wants to pay someone $35 million a year at quarterback.
Not me either.
I mean, look, after this, I'll never say you can never say never with the Patriots. Because they will break their mold, and you just can't predict what they're going to do. But I hope they don't. You know, I don't want Deshaun Watson at $35 million a year. I don't want that guy at that price. I don't.
Neither do they. They don't either. Don't kid yourself. They don't want that either. The ideal situation for them is something akin to what they had, where they're underpaying a guy who's performing high, or they hit on the draft and they pay a guy nothing for, you know, 3 or 4 years at a minimum.
Guy in Belmont. Go ahead, Guy.
Hey, Michael, this does not include Jim Murray. This is just for you and Maz. You've been singing the praise of Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Stidham, whatever the hell his name is, and now Cam Newton. When are you going to realize that Bill Belichick sucks? He had Bernie Kosar and Drew Bledsoe and did nothing, and he's going to do nothing. I'm hoping for a 2020 season just so you can finally say that Bill Belichick sucks. Thank you.
Okay, Guy. I was telling you sooner, except you said you were in Belmont, not Boston. If he wins with Cam Newton, Maz,
I guess we disagree with it. If he wins with Cam Newton, he sort of undercuts his own argument. Cam Newton is an elite talent, former MVP, first overall pick. Like, you know, if he had won with Stidham or Hoyer, he could say it's the system, it's not the quarterback. If Cam Newton comes in here and plays at a high level and they win at a high level, people just say, well, you exchange one MVP for the next, which, again, I give him credit for. He's taking that argument away from himself. But that's what I think the Cam Newton thing does.
Okay, but then Cam Newton's Brady's equal?
No, but he's an elite guy.
Okay, yeah. But he's never won. He's never won a championship. And the other thing is, I also think it's a factor, Mike, on how he wins. So if it's Cam Newton running around doing all the things he did in Carolina, then I tend to agree with you if there's no structure to it. But I think we all know the Patriots aren't going to be the kind of team that play without structure. It's not going to just be the quarterback running around back there doing whatever the hell he damn pleases and then making plays.
Well, let's see. Hold on. Again, let me go back to the question. Let me reset. Let me refacilitate here. Is the Pats offense going to look more like Cam Newton, or is Cam Newton going to look more like the Patriots offense?
I think the latter. I'm going to go with the latter. It's Newton that is going to acquiesce and play into the Patriots offense.
So we won't be seeing read option. We won't be seeing him running out on the edge. We won't be seeing him somersaulting over guys at the at the goal line. We won't see all the running. We won't see all of that. He's going to sit in the pocket and throw flare passes to the running back out of the backfield and Edelman over the middle in the slot.
I think 70-30. 70% of the time he'll be in the pocket. Occasionally you'll see him, make a play like you'd expect him to make a play in the past.
I think the Patriots are going to modify some things here. And, Mike, I'd have to go back and look. I want to double-check this. But the year that Newton completed the, 68% of passes or whatever it was, wasn't that McCaffrey's rookie year?
It feels that way, yeah.
So, there's a safety valve there. Maybe that's something he never had. I just wonder, I don't know. I wonder whether he wants to change what he is because he doesn't want to play the same way anymore. And, they want to change a little bit of what they are, that they'll give him some latitude that maybe they didn't have before because he can move when he needs to.
You want the answer? They're going to turn him loose, and they should turn him loose. We're going to bring in Cam Newton and have him go three steps and throw the 4-yard little option route to Edelman all day long? You've got Hoyer and Stidham to do that. You got a million guys who can do that. That's the system guy. You got a stud now. You got a guy with elite athleticism, elite talent, and who has something to prove and wants to make money and re-hit the market and, re-enter the conversation. Cam Newton is not accurate enough to do the thing to be the game manager and to fit into the system. He's not accurate enough. His windup is too long. The release is too slow. He's a big play guy. He's a runner and a big play guy with a big arm, but he's not going to be that quick, efficient, get rid of the ball and just spread it around in the shorts. That's not who he is. Okay? It's not who he is, and they know it. And I think Belichick's excellent at tailoring the system to the players on the field. And that's what he's going to do. The Patriots' offense is going to move a lot more than Cam. The Pats' offense is going to move a lot more to Cam Newton than Cam Newton's going to move to the Pats' offense. Bill doesn't do that. Bill doesn't shoehorn guys into things they aren't good at doing. And that's Belichick's greatest strength. So
I don't know. Ask Michael Bennett about that.
Yeah, how about Mohamed Sanu last year, too? You should return punts. I've really never done it. Tough. Oh, and he's hurt and now sucks.
Okay. The Bennett one's is a good counter. And they dumped him. And they dumped. Oh, by the way, would it surprise anyone if they released Cam Newton in training camp?
Yes.
No.
It would surprise me a little, although the guaranteed money's low.
The only thing that would surprise me is if Cam Newton's backing up.
I don't think that they can cut him.
Cam Newton backing up makes no sense. I don't think Newton could handle it. I think you're inviting just a headache. And so, to me, Cam Newton on the bench makes zero sense. Cam Newton cutting camp after just $1 million or less out of your pocket, that to me feels totally like them.
Well, get ready to be called racist then.
Why?
Given the world we live in, you can't cut him. I'm serious for this year. Cam Newton is uncuttable. That's further proof he is going to be your starter.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, the money's low. They can cut him. I don't rule that out. But now, if you're telling me mathematically, of course they can cut him. But I think he's here to play.
Okay. Meanwhile, are we ready for Cam Newton? Sort of hitting on what Murray just sort of alluded to. Is Boston ready for Cam Newton? Are we ready as Patriots followers who are just so used to button down, do your job, system guys? That's generally what the Patriots bring in here, right? And what we're used to and what we value. Are we ready for Cam Newton? We'll pick up this after Murray's update. This is a Reentry Monday. Maz, it's presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Why is it that people have a hard time processing the Panthers and Cam Newton?
Well, I hate bringing up the race card because there's more important race stuff. Like, the race does have something to do with it, number one. But I think that, you know, they rub it in pretty good, in fairness. But, you know, there is a racial component, but I hate talking about that because we as black people, we got way more important things where race is a factor than something silly like sports. So I think, man, let me tell you something. As much as I love Cam Newton, if I played against Cam Newton, I'd put a hit on him, no question. Because, man, they rub it in pretty good. It's fun to watch, I guess, as a fan. If you like Carolina, and I guess, and I love sports, they're having so much fun. But it wouldn't be a lot of fun to play against. Because if you're dabbing and supermaning and you're kicking my butt, I'm going to get the players together. I said, the first guy can hit that guy, take him out. We got to get rid of him because they rub it in pretty good. And that has something to do with it also. But there is a racial component, to be honest with you, Dan. And I hate that because we as black people got way more important crap to worry about than stuff like that.
That was Charles Barkley. So, as usual, interesting take on the situation. Way to get us into this story. Are we ready for Cam Newton, Big Jim Murray?
I think, by and large, people will be ready for Cam Newton because of how talented he is. But, I mean, I already heard some of the calls with Zolak and Bertrand, one before they wrapped up. A guy saying, like, I don't know, I heard a dog whistle when he's like, you know, with the way that he dresses and the rag on his head, it's like, oh, boy, yeah, there's going to be these people, too. So we'll see. You know, I don't know. I mean, given the stereotype that surrounds this city in this area, I think that there still are some outliers that will be like, you know, they're going to be rooting for him to fail, which sucks. But
so this is really our first African-American quarterback. You understand that? I mean,
yeah.
So the only, yes. It's, you know, and I just considered this today. You only have one African-American who's ever started a quarterback for you. And that was Brissett a couple of years ago.
Brissett, right. You're right.
That is like, I didn't even realize that. Now, certainly you've had Rowan Davey and Michael Bishop, who I wanted to start all the way back
when. One of those,
I
mean, guys, too.
Yeah, because we hated Bledsoe so much. So, you know, you've certainly had African-Americans here come through here, and we haven't really thought of it. But
well, why would you with Brady the last 20 years? I mean, that's one thing.
Certainly. No question. But be that as it may, here we are in 2020, and this is really your first African-American quarterback. Is Boston ready for it?
We'll see.
So to me, the question I have really doesn't pertain to whether he's black or white. It's more about his personality. And I would ask the same sort of things that, you know, that we wondered about with Ocho Cinco, for example, right? Big personality, like to be seen, love the attention, all of that stuff just flies in the face of the way they do things here. So to me, that's the question I have is, Cam Newton is, you know, Cam Newton, Inc. Not that Brady wasn't, but it's, you know, it's the garb and the personality and the theatrics on the field and all the stuff that goes along with it. Is Bill going to tolerate that? And if he doesn't, is Newton going to feel inhibited and will he be able to play to the best of his ability? Because, Mike, we saw it with Ocho Cinco. It never worked on multiple levels with Ocho Cinco, and he was a huge personality too.
So we're kind of talking about different things. I'm talking about Newton, how he's going to be embraced by the fans in Boston, you know, and if he will, and if the woke media will allow us to separate the race from what I just don't like about him, which is I am, and I think I'm pretty consistent about this, and you've been listening now for 11, 12 years, and so like I'm really not a fun guy, and I'm not into the fun on the field. I'm not into the extravagance on the field and the showmanship on the field. I'm just not into it. Black, white, purple, yellow, green with green polka dots. I don't care what color you are. My feeling on that is colorblind. I have little use for the dapping, supermanning, like, nonsense. I'm just not that guy, and you know that. So am I allowed to say that about Cam Newton without you know, someone saying, dog whistle? Like, so that's sort of like I can feel myself getting frustrated.
Well, it's a tone and context thing. I mean, I think most people can understand that. I would hope, but then again, I don't know, in this crazy world we live in. Because I'm with you, like, I don't know, some of the Cam Newton stuff, he reminds me of, like, football Kyrie Irving in a lot of ways. Like, this goofy font that he's always using on social media, and it seems more about him than anything else. Again, I go back to that fumble in the Super Bowl, and I question how much he actually gives a rat's ass about his craft. Is it more about trying to be a fashionista than a football player? Like, there's things that irk the hell out of me about him, but, again, today's world we live in, that could be labeled as, oh, I know what you're really trying to say. Like, it's different, I think, how you and I feel about it, because we've been consistent about it, and that one particular call I heard in the midday show, it was like, oh, dude, all right, calm down.
So, well, Mike, but how are you and I talking about different things? It sounds to me like you just said the same thing I did.
Well, no. I'm talking about the fans embracing him. You're talking about Belichick embracing him.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but I think the fans will embrace him if he wins. I mean, if he plays well and he wins, they're going to love him. I think, to me, it's that simple.
Okay. I just said, so that's the question. Are we sure? But we're sure about that.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Look, I hear what you're saying, but I honestly, I think it's about winning. I think it's about winning. So, you know, because, for example, did we like Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, fine.
So, you know, I think Brissett did a perfectly good job in the limited time that he was here.
So,
and with Newton, I think it's about the personality. I think it's about the me part of Newton. So I hear what you're saying in terms of separating the two.
But 100%. And that's how I feel. Like, I have no more use for Johnny Manziel or anyone that carries themselves that way. I don't care what color you are. Like, to me, that's the issue. And that's my thing with Cam Newton. I don't like the taunting and the rubbing it in. And I don't, especially when you face some adversity, you won't jump on the fumble and you turtle after the game. And it's like, I think that whole thing's a horrible look. I don't care what color you are. And so, but like, that's my issue with Cam Newton. And Barkley hit it on there. He rubs it in pretty good. You know, when you rub it in like that, when you're playing well, then you better expect, you know, that sort of, you know, I don't think Russell Wilson gets that sort of scrutiny. I don't think Mahomes gets that sort of scrutiny. And again, this doesn't matter their color. It's how they carry themselves as quarterbacks and how they carry themselves on the field. And I think that's going to be the issue for Newton. It should be the issue for Newton, not the color of his skin. But it is 2020. It is an atrocious year. And this is on the table. And so, you know, and it's not like Boston has had a lot of experience with the African-American quarterback.
And it's
here it comes.
And it's one of the reasons I find him uncuttable. I really believe that. Like, I think it's one of the reasons that teams are still reluctant to sign Colin Kaepernick, especially now when this is his best chance to get a job after 4 years, because they're worried about the blowback and what the narrative would be if they had to cut him.
Okay, so I disagree with that. I would like to think that Bill will cut him at a moment's notice if it's not working out in camp like he would anyone else.
And Bill won't care, but Mike, like, roster reason, people won't buy it. Financial reason, people won't buy it. Given the stereotype of the city, they cut him, people won't buy it. They'll want answers. People will picket Gillette Stadium if they cut Cam Newton. Again, Bill ultimately
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not convinced of that either, Murray. I'll tell you, because Bill's got a long history of chasing people away. You know, again,
these
Logan
are different
Mankins,
times, though.
Wes Welker, Tom Brady.
I mean, Bill just dumped Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
He's not allowed to dump Cam Newton?
Yeah, it's a delicate time we're all living in.
So, you know, I'm like I would invite someone playing that card on Bill if he released Cam Newton in camp after letting Tom Brady go.
Why'd you never put out a statement like some of these other coaches did? I mean, people have been calling for that, and he never did, and then he would have cut Cam Newton. I'm telling you that
he just cut, you know, for all intents and purposes, cut Tom Brady.
Yeah, but different, though, because we knew what the narrative was between those two. I think that Cam Newton is uncuttable for this season on this team.
All I'm saying is this whole topic, the whole thing we just touched on, it's a massive freaking headache. And here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's part of the Cam Newton experience.
Oh, good. Well, you could use it.
Get ready for it. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, what I am or what I'm trying to do, and I said that prior to me being in this situation. But when I said it then, oh, he's immature, oh, he's young, he's this, that, and the third. Like, I felt a certain type of way then, I feel the same type of way now. Nothing's pretty much changed. They talk about maturity with me. They talk about skill set with this team. Nobody has changed. This, but the only thing that's changed is that we're winning. You know, and I've said it since day one. You know, I'm an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing that they can compare me to. You know, oftentimes, and it's funny, I get inspired, you know, make me go out there and practice even harder because I remember when I was, you know, working out for the draft and I would see the Senior Bowl playing and I see these guys out there busting their tails trying to get drafted, try to have a job to provide for their family or themselves. You know, here I am. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it. And when I look in the mirror, it's me. You know what I'm saying? Nobody changed me. Nobody, you know, made me act this certain type of way. And I'm true to my roots. And people are going to say whatever they want to say. And if I'm in this world living for that person, oh, this person going to say this, this person going to say that, then I can't look at myself and say I'm Cam Newton or I'm Cameron Newton to most people.
So that was Cam Newton before the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So he invites a little bit of this conversation, saying I'm an African-American quarterback. That scares a lot of people. Nothing they can compare me to. So he's entertained the topic as well. All right, back to your thoughts on Cam Newton and the Patriots' cheating punishment. Let's go longest order of wait. David New Bedford. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I was wondering. I saw that I like the signing, but the timing seems a little bit odd to me that they would announce it on the same night that the penalties are coming out for the Patriots for the cheating scandal.
Yes.
I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
I think something smells, David. I think something's fishy there. I think they're in cahoots. I think this is another break that the league gave you. The league is allowing you to say, well, that was the entertainment department, not the football department, and they're totally separate. That's a break. They don't have to do that. And I think they helped you in some way time out those announcements and those reporting.
The timing of both are screwy, and I want answers. And why would the NFL not come out with that punishment before this past draft? What's it been, 6 months since that damn thing?
Right. Ridiculous.
You know?
Ridiculous. So I think the league worked with you. I think the league gave you a break.
Feels that way.
And in some way let the tail wag the dog, let you get out the Cam Newton information at the same night that the punishment was released. And so the punishment becomes second page, becomes below the fold, if you will. Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick.
What's up, boys? I got a couple of things regarding Cam Newton. So what do you guys think about Bill Brennan and Cam just to get that veteran, talented competition too steady before he hands over the reins to him? And me personally, I think he brought him in here to win right now. We lost Brady. I mean, he's always been high on Newton.
Well, wait a minute, you just said two different. Is he
right?
Is he competition for Stidham to get the most out of him, or is it all about Cam Newton to win all of this year?
That's what I'm asking. What do you guys
think? Okay, what do we think? Thank you. I'm sorry. What do you think? Is this just competition for Stidham, or are they all in on Cam Newton?
They're all in on Cam Newton for this 1 year.
Okay, so this is what I think, too. That is...
Some of the stuff I saw last night, well, no, they're bringing him in so he can teach Stidham RPOs. Hey, like, if I'm Cam Newton, I tell him to screw.
Absolutely.
No matter how bad I need a job, I'm not doing that.
No way. No way. And so, to me, it would not surprise me. Nothing should surprise you with the Patriots. The only thing that would surprise me is if they signed a quarterback for a ton of money. Whenever they spend a ton of money, then I'm surprised. Nothing else should surprise you. However... it would not surprise me if Cam Newton is cutting camp. The only scenario that I think doesn't make sense is Cam Newton backing up Jared Stidham. He's here just to compete.
And if Stidham beats him out, Cam Newton's going to sit there holding the clipboard all year?
No shot.
I don't think that that works for Cam Newton. I don't think that that works for you. I don't think that makes sense. But I have seen, there's a million examples, maybe not at this position, but a million examples of Bill signing a big-name player who has an accomplished guy for a great contract, and you come in and you say, look, we got this guy, we got that guy, and the next thing you know, it's the third week of camp and he's gone. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And so if that happened with Cam Newton, Maz, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. I just wouldn't have Cam Newton here backing up. I think you're inviting, you know, first time Stidham has a bad half, it's like play Cam Newton. Like it's just, it's, I think that's untenable. Never mind whether Cam Newton could handle it or not. First overall pick, league MVP, Super Bowl guy, wants a big, you know, $30 million contract. I don't think it works for Cam. I don't think it works for anyone. So if it is just competition, which I don't think that it is, Then I think you need to cut Newton if Stidham wins that job in the fall.
But if you wanted veteran competition, you just would have brought in Andy Dalton.
Exactly.
So you want something more than that. And I don't, given the money involved, and I mean the relatively little money, cutting Newton is absolutely in play. I don't think it's out of play. I mean, I think that's a total option. But I don't think they brought him here to just take a look. I think they brought him here because they think he can play.
Adam and Lowell on the Patriots cheating scandal. Yes, Adam.
Hey, guys. I think the Patriots got off light. This is basically a stupid tax. Just stop bringing your cameras in other people's buildings. That's really not that hard. I love the Cam Newton signing because that means I don't have to watch Hoyer play a significant snap, which is like tantamount to torture. And that last Cam cut bothered me because it's like they have nothing to compare you to, guy. How about Randall Cunningham, who is better than you? Thanks, guys.
Okay, so Cam Newton's going to rub people the wrong way. Okay? And hopefully it's just because you don't like his personality or what he says. And it's not on the color of his skin, but again, you just don't know. But hopefully it's not that second thing. The first thing about the Patriots, so it's a severe punishment, but I still think the Patriots got off, you know, that they should consider themselves fortunate. Because the league could throw the book at you if they wanted to after your prior incidents and how blatant this was. They could. They could say, we don't want to hear it. We're not even going to investigate. We told you if you get anywhere near the line, never mind go over it, you're toast. So you know what? You're toast. They could easily do that and get away with that, and they're not. So I think as stiff as that third round pick is, they're still giving you something of a break.
So I still look at it in the context of just the singular incident, which obviously with them is impossible to do. But a member of the Kraft Productions is in the booth shooting the sidelines, presumably for a story, whether you believe that or not. And there's no connection to the football operation because, a third rounder for that and $1 million, that's a pretty good shot.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts on that and resetting our top thoughts on the Cam Newton signing. What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? After Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.